Hello.
Hello, I'm here. I can
Hey.
actually hear for the first time. I usually have to
Hi.
jump off and get back on. That's new.
Well, there you go. Maybe it's because it gave your mic a time to warm up.
Don't know. Well, I don't know what it's been. I never can hear you guys. It's working today, though.
So you were having a little trouble?
No, the last two times I've had trouble. Today it came right on.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
You're tardy, Rob. What's up?
I could blame it on the computer, but the fact is,
You'd be lying.
well, I mean, it is the computer doesn't help, but I know ahead of time the computer's slow,
The
so
lasso
just
of
need.
truth is around you right now.
Yeah, took too long in the shower. I shaved.
On a
Well, you gotta look
Sunday?
clean.
Why?
Yeah, we're going to Stacy's family for a birthday party later this afternoon.
Oh.
Yeah. All spick and span.
There's like birthday parties every week for you.
Too much.
Nice.
Yeah.
So how the
How are you
how's
guys?
everybody been?
Yeah.
I'm good. I've been watching teenagers die one after another, working my way through. Well, first, initially, it was just going to be Friday the 13th, Halloween, or not Halloween, Nightmare and
Elm
Scream,
Street, yeah.
and then you mentioned like why wasn't I doing Halloween? And yeah,
Yeah.
the main reason was I just don't have that set. A, it's out of print, and B, four and five are like pricey. But
You
so I was
can't
like,
find
eh.
them streaming anywhere?
I think they're on AMC, and I just didn't want to sign up for anything again right now
Oh no,
because
I
work.
meant on anything that you already have.
Oh no, I don't think so. I think they're on AMC only. So, yeah. So I watched the first two, and then I jumped back in with Curse of. But I added those because of you, buddy.
Yeah, there you
But
go.
yeah, I just finished New Nightmare, so I'm on part seven of the three franchises. So I got what, New Blood and H2O coming up.
Well,
So
there you go.
yeah, I want to talk about New Nightmare when once we get to like chit-chatty parts of stuff that isn't, you know, what's going on and stuff, because I got some thoughts and questions.
I'm not versed on Nightmare. What is it called? Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
I've seen the first one. Maybe I've seen the second one. I just it's not one of my favorite
Yeah,
franchises.
I've seen the first two, and then beyond that, I haven't watched it.
Yeah,
Oh, okay.
he's probably my least favorite of those
Mine as well.
killers. Yeah.
Yeah, I was telling that to Kristen this morning. I was like, you know, the thing is, Jason, I got a certain amount of empathy for. Plus, I think he gets funnier as the movies go on.
Yeah.
I mean, because he was like a little kid who got bullied, basically, and they let him drown.
Yeah.
Michael Myers actually gets me on like a real level. He actually scares me because he's basically like a home invader with a mask
Yeah.
on, and I don't like home invasions. Like, that's something that genuinely frightens me.
Yeah,
And Freddy's just.
movies like The Strangers and stuff, or
Oh
like
man, that first Purge?
yeah,
Yeah. Oh, the first Purge was good. Yeah.
Purges, The Strangers, and like things like Vacancy, like where you're in a hotel and people are watching,
Yeah.
like it they freak me out, man. Like any
Panic
of
Room
the,
freaked me out.
well, Panic Room is crazy too, because
Yeah.
what freaks me out about that is I have asthma and that kid's like,
Right.
and I'm like, oh my God.
Right.
Kristen Stewart.
Is that right? I
Ashley's the
forgot
little
about
girl,
that.
right? Jodie
Yeah,
Foster.
she's the girl, the little girl, yeah.
It's been so long since I've seen that. But
I've
anyway,
only
and
seen
then
a
Freddy.
couple
Freddy's
times,
just
but that's.
goofy. I don't find Freddy frightening at all. And especially even in that first one, we rewatched it, and I'm just like, he's so silly. I mean, you
I
know,
think
I
that's what it's
think. Yeah.
supposed to be. I think it's meant to be frightening and
I don't know. I never
campy at
got
the same
scared by
time.
him. Yeah. So
Well,
yeah, I'm with you.
I guess if you don't think about having bad dreams, that you can't get out of. If it doesn't scare you, then that's not a something to scare you.
But I think Pennywise works on that level though, like both versions of it. I find, well, I don't like clowns to begin with, but I think both of those versions of the monster, those work for me though.
I agree for whatever reason. I don't know. And I think Freddy's story, like in the first one, was it was a good like backstory of
Right.
what had happened. I don't know. He just for whatever reason I don't latch onto those films.
Well, I'll say if you ever get in the mood to watch them, I'll do the old cliche, I've suffered for you. One, three, and seven are sure bets. Two is interesting. Avoid four, five, six. They're just not worth even bothering with. So yeah, but one, three, seven. Basically, if Wes was attached to it, it's one worth spending your time with. So yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Well,
you've been
cool.
watching a lot of those.
Yeah, well, I've been sitting on them, and I just like, well, I ought to do something with these, and I was like, well, we're just gonna do one of each round, and then I got it in my head, oh, it'd be fun to see what people thought as, and I would post what I thought as I worked my way through them. So, I think the way we watch things is interesting too, because I watching. And like I say, when we get to like discussing our old topics for the day, I'll talk a little bit about New Nightmare. I think sometimes the way you watch things can really bring a different context to them than so the way you might have watched them in the past, if it's a rewatch, or if you're watching things in a different era. I think bringing the context of, like the Scream movies, watching, having seen all those and going back and watching stuff that they are both satirizing and homaging, I think is quite interesting too.
Oh, for
Because
sure.
you definitely have different baggage when you're coming into these with more experience than if you were watching it in 1989 or what have you. So it's fascinating kind of how different things have a different view or a different read, That's actually one of the comics I read today. Reading it, both the books I ended up reading, I have subsequent issues for. And, I read both of those when I was a kid, and reading these now is like, holy crap. So this is where that story started from. So it's weird,
Yeah, definitely so.
So other than computer problems, what have you been up to, Robert?
This weekend was a little bit busy, but in a fun way. We went out to dinner on Friday with ex-coworker and her husband. And that's we always go out to dinner with one of Stacy's good friends on New Year's Eve, the four of us. And aside from that, I could not even tell you the last time that me and Stacy had gone out to dinner with like another couple.
Without the
Aside from you,
kids.
without the kids, I mean, literally, like I'm talking, it could be have been a decade.
Yeah, I can't remember when I've done that either.
It was crazy. We had a real nice time. It was cool. It was a Mexican place, really good food. And then yesterday, one of my other friends at work had a couple free tickets to the professional lacrosse game that we have here. And so Stacy's really, really into it. I enjoy going, but I don't really get into it. So I said, Stacy, why don't you see if Allie or Zach want to go? It turned out Zach would be really excited to go. So the two of them went to that, and me and Allie went and saw Super Mario Brothers. So we had a nice little time together. We got ice cream afterwards, and then today we've got a birthday party. So it's been kind of a busier weekend than others, but
You don't get to relax on the weekend. It's you get to you're
Not
always
this
on the go.
weekend. Yeah, and we cleaned out, me and the kids cleaned out all the garage too, because Zach is starting to get in, like he wants to build things with like wood. We got him for his birthday. It's like one of those monthly boxes that you get, and
Yeah,
it's
build something.
yeah, and it's a woodworking thing each time. So he said he wanted to make room or something in the garage, and I'm like, oh God, it, the place is packed with all their crap from being 2 years old all the way up still.
Right.
So we cleaned out the whole garage. I had them sort through their bins what they needed to keep and what they could get rid of, and yeah, got it real
What did
nice
you
and
do? What did
organized
you
and
do with all
looking
the
nice.
junk?
For the most part, like some of this stuff is good stuff that we'll give to like a younger, like Stacy's cousins, that might have little kids,
Kids, yeah.
like a tricycle. Like we got real nice tricycle still. And we'll give that away. A couple other things we'll give away, but then a lot of other stuff just was outdoor games that, like them being the kids that they are, just don't really take all that great care of, and like things that have broken over the years, and now just they just threw into a bin and just tossed them, threw them in the garbage can. So
Well, I always say once a toy hits outside, its previous life is gone anyway,
yeah. Well, I
we
mean,
had
some
an
of them are
indoor
like
slide for
made, they're
years,
outdoor
and
games, but
sure.
like some of them are just beat up and parts have
Yeah.
been lost and stuff like that. So
How did you like Super Mario?
it was good,
Okay.
especially like I enjoyed, Allie absolutely loved it. I enjoyed it. I think that if probably even if I was just a little younger and I had been much more invested in the Nintendo franchise, growing up, like even my brother's age was just only like 3 or 4 years younger than me, I probably would have even gotten more out of it. But because of Easter eggs and stuff like that, like I
Right.
recognize some stuff, but I probably a ton of it went over my head just because I really didn't play a lot of the old, Nintendo of the, I guess it would have been the late or mid 80s, right? The
Yeah, I think
NES, I think
they
it was
debuted
called.
early 80s, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so but it was good. It was a lot of fun. Mario, Luigi, they were, of course, Bowser was the antagonist, and they
Right.
even had a team up at one point, and Donkey Kong had a pretty prominent role
If it
as
was a Missile Command or Asteroids, you would have been, heck yeah.
well.
There you
Yeah,
go.
I mean,
Yeah.
we're old here, so that one was a little after, I was all about the Atari and stuff. And then the Nintendo, the NES, yeah, that was good, but that was my brother's
That's the same
system.
thing. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's my brother's
But
system.
it was a lot of fun. So it was cool to kind of spend one-on-one time with her, and my wife got to spend it with Zach. So we don't do it all that often,
Sure.
we're always busy, so the fact that we were able to make time to do that was nice. How about you guys? What have you guys been up to?
I'm just getting over my cold still, so I'm finally,
Wow, that had lasted a
finally,
while.
yeah, I was going on a month.
That's
Yeah,
crazy. I've had a bad cough that's come and gone since we last talked, so you must have got a really bad strain.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Did you get like bronchitis with it as
No,
well?
I had
Oh, okay.
X-rays. It
Okay,
wasn't
that's weird.
bronchitis.
Yeah, my wife had bronchitis a couple of weeks ago, and boy, once you get that cough just lingers and lingers and lingers.
Yeah, it didn't feel like it was in my lungs, but it felt like it was in my throat, like always there.
Sure.
But it was like a deep cough, like one of those ones where you want to spit up something.
Oh,
Oh,
geez. Yeah. Well,
But
those are the good ones.
it
I
was
hate them
clear.
dry ones.
Yeah, it was clear though. It wasn't like it's usually you have like gray and it's crap in there, and
Right.
this was just like it just looked like spit. It was weird,
Wow.
very strange.
I'm glad
But
you're starting to get over
we
it.
got some questions from Kirk.
Oh
Yeah,
gosh, yeah,
we did.
boy,
Well,
did
I
we?
saw that.
Yeah.
Jeez. My favorite mayonnaise is Blue Plate followed by Duke's.
I don't even have a favorite mayonnaise. Oh, I love whatever Burger King puts on their
Theirs is good. It's
Whoppers.
salty. Yeah.
I don't know what their mayonnaise is, but I definitely can taste a Burger King
Yeah.
mayonnaise.
I always think of their mayonnaise with the chicken sandwich. It always has a ton of it on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my favorite mayonnaise, but I'm not. I'm pretty neutral. I'll eat any kind of mayonnaise.
Ugh, I don't
I'm
like
not a
Miracle
Miracle
Whip.
Whip. Yeah,
Sure.
I'm not a.
Yeah.
That's not a Mir. Is Miracle Whip a mayonnaise?
It's
I don't.
no.
It's like a
I think it's
mayonnaise
another
substitute.
whip.
Mayonnaise
Something.
adjacent.
I don't
Yeah.
like Miracle Whip. I used to, as a
See,
kid, I used to
that
like
doesn't
it.
bother me either. I really don't even care. You put Miracle Whip on or put mayonnaise. The only mayonnaise I think I've ever really had is like Hellmann's. That seems to be the brand like around here.
I think that's what
Yeah.
we get mostly
Yeah.
now is Hellman's or Kraft or.
Yeah, I have to order mine because they don't sell the two brands I grew up with in Iowa, so I have to order Blue Plate from Amazon, and once in a while we'll run across Duke's, but neither one of them is like locally sold up here. But
Yeah,
it's
for me,
okay. Amazon has a cheap.
I'm not a, it's not a high priority for me. Like if someone was to offer me a sandwich with mayonnaise, I wouldn't ask them what kind of mayonnaise they were going to
I
put
would. I'd be
on.
like, what are you putting on that? Get out of
That's a big
here. I'm just
difference
kidding. I'm not rude about
for
that. That's funny.
At what
What
point
else
in
do you
your li-
even ask?
at what
Yes.
point in your lives did you realize Sergeant Rock was amazing? I think it was when I
Pretty
met
early.
Kirk.
Oh,
Oh, 1986.
that long?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, I liked Sergeant Rock as a kid. I didn't. I read a lot of comics because I was into Army Men and stuff, but like that phase lasted from ages 5 to 8, and then I kind of went on to the superhero thing.
Mine would have been around 86, maybe 85. As I'm sure y'all have heard many times, I feel like I tell this story way too many times. I'm a who's who crisis baby, so anybody who was like not one of the A-listers who I was getting exposed to for that first time when I was like, 11 and 12 years old, I like fell in love with all the those characters. So the Jonah Hexes, the Blackhawks, the Sergeant Rocks, the Captain
Scalp
Comets.
hunter.
Of course, well, that
Scalp
goes without saying.
All those characters though,
hunter.
Cinnamon, if they were in a Who's Who, I was like, oh man, they must be awesome, and I fell in love with all those kind of, and I don't want to call Sergeant Rock a B grade character because that'll upset Kirk, but just the ones who aren't used as much,
I
especially in
mean,
that era.
he
in
showed up
terms
in
of
just
though,
he showed up in Justice Society. I was pretty surprised.
yeah. Well,
Well, I
didn't
mean,
he end up
it
with the
had
war
he had
genre?
easy all of Easy Company too.
He ended up being, I want to say, the head of S Suicide Squad at one point, wasn't he? Like
Yeah,
when
one
he
of
was
the
in high
him
school, I
and
think. Yeah.
Bull, was it Bulldozer or was it yeah, it was Bulldozer. Him
Yeah.
and Bulldozer were in Suicide Squad. That was the Keith Giffen run.
That was. I liked that one.
So I
That was cool.
discovered those characters post G.I. Joe, so I had an affinity for war comics anyway because I was a big G.I. Joe nut. So I think I really latched onto him and Blackhawk.
Yeah, I like Blackhawk. He's my favorite.
But I'm telling you, I know he doesn't like this. After I got all these showcases, my favorite of the DC War ones is the Losers. I love those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kirk doesn't care for that answer, but anyway.
Why not? He doesn't like the losers?
Huh?
He
No, I
doesn't
think
like
he
the
just
losers.
he likes the losers. He just wants Rock to be everybody's favorite,
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I mean, I first experienced those towards the ends of some of the longer lasting ones, whether it was GI Combat, Sergeant Rock, and Unknown Soldier actually was still around as well. So I was probably 10, I would say, 10 or 11. I love Sergeant Rock. My favorite was The Unknown Soldier. Just that
Those are great
history of
books.
it was cool to me.
Cool done in one stories.
Yeah, and I mean, even as a little kid, focusing, I mean, 90% of it out there was superheroes.
Right.
I really liked having, you know, those other options, whether it was, you know, Sergeant Rock, or if it was the House of Mystery or Unexpected or whatever, it was cool having some of those different choices. And I took advantage of that, you know, even as a really little kid, like getting a different type.
We all have different answers. Mine is Blackhawk. You like the Losers, and you had Unknown Soldier.
Yeah.
I do think that that's one of those things that maybe it's what you bring to it. I think part of the reason I like the Losers so much, being a G.I. Joe person, the Losers were made up of all the different military forces as well. So
right.
Maybe that's part of what I don't know. And I don't know why we pick what we pick, but it's interesting. I'm glad we don't all like the same thing, to be honest with you, though.
Yeah.
It'd be boring.
I like Blackhawk because it was sexy and adventurous. That's why I liked it.
Oh yeah, who was
he?
The one
always
with the sleep
had
in her
like,
hair?
Yeah, that she was awesome. Domino,
she was sexy. Yeah, she was great.
Oh god, that was my favorite run of Blackhawk too. Was when it came back when there were 60 cents.
Oh yeah, those are the best ones.
That was the best run right there.
Yeah,
that's why I liked it. And then I had the Howard Chaykin one.
Yep.
Which was probably the first comic I read with a blowjob happening underneath the desk.
I almost said that. I was like, I don't even know if I'd even really knew what a blowjob was the first time I read that issue.
Yeah. It's like, what's happening there? Why is she underneath the desk as this guy's talking to Blackhawk? I don't understand.
God, when would that have come out? When I was in like sixth or seventh grade, and I don't know if I knew everything at that point. I'm sure I didn't. It's hilarious.
Yeah, but next question: are there titles you know you will drop when the next inevitable price increase comes?
If it's a book I love, I'm not dropping it because of a dollar. So like I think all the ones I really really love have already gone up, and the only one I've dropped is because I really don't like the way she writes characters, and I may regret it, and I'll end up picking them up and trading. That's Harley Quinn. But I would have picked up Harley Quinn if it had still been the previous writer on it for the extra dollar. Mm. But, like, Superman can go up to $7. I'm going to keep getting it. So I don't know. If it's something I'm, like, half interested in, I might drop it if it were pricey. But my main things I'm going to stick with.
For the most part, I don't, you know, thankfully, I mean, I am trying to cut back and save money in general. But I couldn't tell you, like, if I've ever, since I was, you know, a lot younger, I really don't stop getting something because of a price increase. I'll drop it if I've lost interest.
Same.
Now, having said that, as I'm going through previews, if I'm not sure, on the back half of previews and something sounds kind of interesting, but, you know, it's just starting up and I'm not quite sure, the price can, you know, influence me.
And it's $4.99
or
$5.99. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
might not get it. Whereas if it's $3.99, I'm like, yeah, I'll try out this new title. But if I see $5.99 or something, I'm like, no, that's okay.
You don't know what you're missing if you don't know what you're missing.
Well, that's,
yeah, I definitely skipped
you're
some.
You're absolutely right. That is a great point.
Yeah, I've skipped some Keen Spot books, and is it Aftershock who does the first issue at $5? I think
they do it.
They've been
$4.99, but there's nothing there anymore in previews.
Well, I think that company's done. But
they're done. AWA is like one or two books a month.
One makes me sad. AWA. They were 100% for me every single book.
Well, I hate to say it, but the way they published wasn't necessarily beneficial for me to buy their single issues because it was so much cheaper just to trade weight. So yeah. I almost always just got the trades when they came out because the issues were $4 and there'd be 4 to 5 issues in a trade and the trades were always $10. So I almost always just got the first trade of them.
Well, they started the Upstart Now, which was awesome. It was an anthology that was black and white that had all their comics in it.
Yep, I got those too. Yeah.
And it was dirt cheap.
It was.
I don't under I don't understand why that can't work in America. Like I just can't grasp why, because it's so cheap. The quality was good.
Yep.
You know?
Well, you would need somebody. I think you'd need one of the big boys to try it out and succeed. You need like Marvel or DC doing maybe the stuff they've been doing digital only, and putting them in those kind of books and getting them in places where they're. Because the thing with Shonen Jump, when it was really successful here, it was everywhere. If you remember, it was like in the grocery stores, it was at Blockbusters, it was in the comic stores. So I think, I don't know how you would do it. Because the Giants were working for a while at Walmart, and then that got killed off. You would almost need something like that. I don't know. I don't know how it would work, but yeah, you'd think anthologies could do better if. I think too, we pay our artists better than they do in Japan, so a lot of those people work themselves to death to get out a weekly strip, and that's the other thing. Those are weekly books, so
yeah,
I don't know.
That's probably true. It's not cost effective.
Yeah, I just don't know that we're gonna have people willing to put in that kind of a grind for it.
Well, you have, I would say, I don't know what percentage, but you've got a ton of artists, American artists now, that can't even do a monthly book.
Right,
they have to have breaks in between. Just
that's
get
because
through
they're on social media and they have to play their video games.
Well, I mean, there has to be something, because Jack Kirby drew like everything.
Well,
you know,
I mean, well, there is exceptions to the rule. Dan Mora does a hell of a job.
There's of course, yeah.
He keeps on a DC book, and sometimes doing two DC books, and does all the covers, and then he's got his Boom stuff, and
yeah, I don't know how he does
how many can't do a monthly book now.
And his quality is so good, too, with Dan. It's crazy.
Oh, it's amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
It is.
Why hasn't anybody brought me fried mushrooms? I didn't know he was into psychedelics.
It's because that hamburger from Checkers, it was a tweet he had a few, I don't know if it was a week ago or a few days ago or what. He really wants Checkers fried mushroom hamburger. That's what that is.
Well, if he wanted some mushrooms, like Mike said, he can talk to Martin.
To Martin, yeah.
You just got to go find some cow patties.
Grows them in his backyard, and he could fry them up for him.
He's probably near farming country. Just go find some cow patties. That's where the kids I knew at UGA used to find them. So there you go.
He says Cylons or Stormtroopers. For me, it's Stormtroopers. I love my Cylons, but...
What's the question? Which one do we like better? What's cooler?
Yeah,
what's scarier?
What's better?
The scarier,
I
think, are Cylons by far.
I think Cylons are scarier.
They seem slow as fuck, though.
But they're robots.
Well,
like, you could reason
with a human. It depends.
So Stormtroopers have a person inside.
Stormtroopers are idiots, though.
I went on the Universal Studios ride, and those Cylons were slow, man. I mean, all the Centurions, all the Colonial fighters would come in and just slice them in half.
And I think the modern Cylons were a lot scarier too, so I don't know. I'm gonna go Cylons just to be different.
I'll say Stormtroopers in terms of which ones I like better, but
yeah,
I like Stormtroopers better. I think especially like the Clone Wars and stuff, they added a lot, like Bad Batch and stuff, they added a lot to the Stormtrooper mythology. They're not always all stupid and miss everything, you know?
Yeah.
Some of them are pretty badass. Cylons I love, though. Like, that...
That rifle with the, like, bayonet on it was cool, too.
Yeah, it was cool. Skinny BWS Conan or bulky Buscema Conan?
Bulky. Oh, I like both.
I like both, too, but I'll go with Buscema Conan.
Yeah, I think I have a preference because he had the lovely lasses in those Buscema ones. Plus, those would have been the first ones I would have read, too. So, you have a soft spot for what you read first.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Over or under 20 variants for the Return of G.I. Joe?
That I own?
No, I think
when it comes back.
When G.I. Joe's relaunched, how many variant covers are there going to be?
I say under.
It's
Image.
It's Image, and it's the Kirkman imprint, right? Skybound?
I think so.
How many did he do for Walking Dead on 100? Do you remember?
It was less than 20, I think.
I thought
Okay.
so.
If
I'd say
it,
under. Maybe 8 or something.
Okay.
I'm
I
just
remember
skipping
getting
off.
the Frank Quitely and being really bummed when it showed up because they didn't have a preview. I was like, it's just some old lady. Yeah, I'll go under because I think that'd be a good gauge on where they would do is like, because that was his baby. If he did under 20 for that one, I think it'll be under 20 for this one.
We're all
Last
agreed
one,
there.
last one is, have you asked James Gunn to secure the rights to an adaptation of Atari Force lately?
Bruh, Dynamite can't even secure the rights to Atari Force. So, I mean, that shit got solicited, didn't it? And it never came out.
Yeah, Dynamite is one to like look for loopholes and everything.
So I don't know that that one's
And
going to
they
happen.
look for
Something's going
things in
on.
public domain and stuff, and if they can't
Right.
do it, DC ain't gonna do it.
Yeah, I would love for Atari Force to happen. I don't think it's going to. We're more apt to get a Sun Devils movie. So
Atari
and then one
Force.
last
How
question
awesome would
from
that be, though?
that would be
That would
cool.
be awesome.
One last question from Jason. If a major studio gave each of you $100 million to make a comic book movie, which character team would you choose for the movie? Who would you like to play them, and who would you like to write and direct it? For this one's easy for me. I would never make a $100 million movie because the odds are against you to like turn a profit. Like
Right.
that's a ridiculous amount of money. I'd rather make a $10 million movie and have it turn in $40 million profit. But I would rather do something like Sergeant Rock and make it like a $50 million budget and just get some good actors for the characters. I'm not good at casting. I've
I
never
was just
have.
gonna say I'm the worst at doing casting, at doing I have no,
Directors, yeah, I could
no,
care less.
I don't have any
I would
idea.
just make sure there's quality behind it, and just I would like to see a Sergeant Rock movie with glimpses of the other heroes sparkle throughout the movie, you know?
Yeah. And that's funny you say that. That's kind of where I'm at in my head. My head is telling me Jonah Hex have Easter eggs of all the different Western characters, but somehow get in that JLA slash Justice League Unlimited visit from the future, even if it's just an Easter egg where you see Wonder Woman's boot or something in, like at the end of the movie. And because it's a DC movie, you know that an Easter egg's not going to pay off anyway, so I won't get in trouble. So.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. But yeah, all the stuff I'd want to see wouldn't want to be like superheroes. I'd rather have Sergeant Rock, Western, or like the Warlord fantasy or
Yeah.
something, you know?
We need a good
Something that,
fantasy movie.
yeah, something that, you know what's coming out as a comic? I don't know if you ever watched the movie, but Sword and the Sorcerer. Do you
What's that
remember
one?
that? That's the
I
one with
don't
the
know what that
blade
is.
that has three blades on it.
Is that the Corman movie?
Yeah.
Oh shit, I'm gonna order that right now
It's
because I
on
want to see it.
it's coming from Antarctic, but it should be interesting.
Yeah, I've never seen that one. That
Sword
was
and the
one that
Sorcerer. Yeah, it's a good movie. I love that movie.
I remember that cover, like always thinking like I need to watch this, and I never got around to doing it. It's got a great cover.
Yeah.
Yeah. And who's doing a comic of it? Antarctic?
Antarctic. Yeah, that's one of my
Interesting.
favorite publishers, actually.
They're great. I don't
In
think of
terms
them
of
as doing licensed stuff, though.
anthologies, they're the best.
Oh, yeah.
With
Did you
exciting
start?
comics, horror comics, Planet Comics, and Jungle Comics, I just love them.
Did you start picking up the manga when they started doing?
I did Manga Z.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jack had one of those, and I read it.
Well,
It was
I
pretty.
get most everything. I even get Gold Digger, and I they're one of my favorite publishers, just consistently.
Do you have the Ninja High School STD special
No,
issue?
not the
All right.
sexual transmitted disease. No, I know
Dang it.
about it. I know
I'll
about
have to cover that on the next episode. I'll go dig it out for you and then
it.
I'll cover that one. That's a classic.
So, Rob, do you have any movie you'd like to bring to the screen?
I mean, sure, if somebody's going to hand me that much money to be able to make the movie that I want to see, then it'd be based on at least the beginning of the James Robinson Starman run.
Well, there you go.
Who's your director? I'll take, if this is just Dreamcasting and we have this budget, I'll take Quentin because I know he likes comics.
Oh my God. That would be quite a movie.
Quentin Tarantino?
Yeah.
The only thing is he's come out flat and said he'd never do that.
Well, if
because
we
get he hates
dollars.
No, I know, but he basically said he hates fandom because he says you can never win with that. He said if I do something, it's going to be my own. Like,
yeah,
it'll be my own superhero or my own Westerner.
I'll do Guillermo del Toro then. Let's see how he does a Western. And
I would do good, but I think a Western horror.
That's fine.
That would be
cool though.
That'd be perfect for Jonah. And you know what? I like Josh Brolin. I'm gonna let him go again because
he was a good Jonah Hex. I mean, let's not get all complicated with the plot and all, but he was a good Jonah Hex.
He was. The plot was bad.
That was good casting.
I'm not bringing Megan Fox.
He'd even be a good like Rock.
He would.
He could
hell,
be, yeah.
Hell yeah. I mean, the way he plays Cable and stuff, like, he'd be a great
Rock. He was Cable, yeah. Well, there you go. He could bleach his hair, too, to be the Sarge. So
yep. Yeah, and he's an older guy. Like,
just cast him in everything.
In terms of casting and directing, for me, I don't have any idea.
Well, for you, it'd be Steven Spielberg.
No, I don't think so.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
There you go.
Rob likes Steven Spielberg.
Well, who wouldn't like Steven Spielberg?
Well, he's made good war movies, so, I mean, why not?
Saving Private Ryan was fantastic. Yeah. Have you ever seen Jaws? Jaws is a pretty good movie.
I've seen Jaws, and I like that one.
Yeah.
I even like Jaws, too.
Some people credit Jaws with the creation of the so-called summer blockbuster. That was the first one.
I don't think those people are that far off.
No, I don't think so either. I think there's something to that Spielberg guy. Yeah, he might have a career in filming.
He might have some legs on him, as they used to say.
All right, well, that's all the questions. We got through all of them successfully.
That's cool. We haven't done questions in years. This point, so that was fun.
Yeah, I think my first episode with you guys had questions.
Oh, okay, then it wasn't years.
So it's not years, but it's been maybe year singular.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Who wants to kick us off?
Well, if you want, I could do a quick synopsis of New Nightmare and why it would be worth your time.
Sure. I want to bring up one more thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you go for that bad idea thing, Rob?
No, I still haven't. And I'll tell you why. It's not that it's not a good deal. It's just that we're really trying to buckle down and actually start.
Yeah. I was just glad because it was
spending altogether.
I was just glad because it was under cost, like even with shipping.
Mm.
It was under the cover price, and
I mean,
was like,
I don't even know what they charge for that.
No, because I was spending like $7 for the book or $8,
mm-hmm.
and then I was spending another $8 on shipping each individual book.
Oh yeah.
So like by the time it was done, it was crazy, and this was like $5 shipping, plus the cover. Like, so with the shipping and the cost of the book, it was way less than I would have paid for anything. So I was pretty happy. The other thing about Bad Idea, did you support that Kickstarter or no?
Is it up now?
The Kickstarter, not the new one.
Do the old one.
Well, that was weird because they shipped me two books, but they didn't ship me like what the main thing was. I wanted to see if you got it or not.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't. It's so
funny. It
was
funny
like cause...
a hardcover, but they shipped me like the incentives. Like, here's extra because they hit certain goals and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny that you mention that now because of where I am, you know, listening to the podcast and stuff. I just recently listened to you and Bill, where Bill found like all those Bad Idea comics in his the dollar bin. The cons that he was at, and then you had mentioned, because that Kickstarter had just started, and you had mentioned how me and you were talking about it and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's funny how it comes around all these months later, and we just it feels like I just listened to our very current episode of Geek Brunch, where really it's like six months.
Well, when Bad Idea Part 2 comes out, I'm going to do the same. I'm not going to order anything and mm-hmm. then just hope. Because they're not a continuity-driven publisher anyway. So, if I don't get it, who cares? They're going to be separate stories. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
you guys covered a couple of them on that one episode. Makes me sad that I only ended up getting the first issue of Pirate Queen before, you know.
Oh, that was a good one.
Stopped getting any types of shipments.
Yeah, that was a really good one.
Yeah.
We read a really good pirate comic recently called Skull and Bones. It's based on a video game, but
yeah, I guess that
really
video
good comic
coming out or has just come out or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. But I'm going to take a look at whatever this new one is. But if it's crazy prices again, I won't bother. But we'll see what it is. It's just cool. For one issue, though, right? Isn't it just like?
Well, the Megalith.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just one hardcover, I think.
Oh, it's a hardcover again.
Is it the continuity character Megalith?
No, it's their own.
Oh, okay.
I wish it was the continuity character Megalith.
Right. I wonder what's going to happen to all that Neil Adams stuff since he's passed.
I don't know. Maybe somebody has.
Somebody's got the license,
to it.
I'm sure. To
somebody
all of it.
Somebody does. Either that
Knowing
or it'll
him,
end up
he
in
has,
public
he,
domain.
Know, he probably, secured stuff as a, you know, as an actual corporation or entity or something like that, because you know, he knew a lot about creators' rights, obviously.
Right.
All right, kick us off into our nightmares.
Oh, okay. So, real quick backstory. Nightmare on Elm Street had wrapped up already. The last one was number 6, Freddy's Dead. Wes Craven's New Nightmare came out in 1994. It was a budget of $8 million, and I just looked up at the box office. I knew it was the worst performing in history of the series. It only made $19.8 million, which is,
wow,
for that series, a pretty big flop.
Yeah.
Interesting thing about this movie is it's a movie within a movie within a movie within a movie kind of thing. So you open, and if you have watched the Nightmare movies, you know that the one of the big things is you never know who's awake, who's asleep. Sometimes the only hint that you got that you might be in a dream is if somebody blinks. That's kind of like one of those things. If you see somebody blink, that means more than likely they've just fallen asleep, because that's just how it works.
Hmm.
It opens, you see the Freddy fingers being made, and it turns out they're on a movie set. Heather Langenkamp, the one who played Nancy in the original, is on the set. She's married to the fellow who does the special effects, and they're looking at the Freddy hand. The Freddy hand goes wild and kills a couple of the special effects guys. The hubby gets it turned off, and then all of a sudden there's an earthquake. Turns out Heather had been sleeping. And earthquakes are going to play a big role in the movie. They just keep happening over and over and over. I don't know if this was just 1994, if there was just a big series of earthquakes going on at that time. I can't remember when the baseball game with the World Series with the Giants happened. I feel like it was probably close to that era. It might have been in the late 80s. But anyway, a lot of earthquakes in the film. And every time one of these bad dreams happens, it comes, the earthquake's almost always involved. So she's having these dreams, and she's also getting these prank phone calls. So she gets a phone call that morning. She picks it up, and I swear, I don't know where to find out this information quick enough to help right this second, but it sounds like the dude who does the Scream phone calls, because it goes 1-2, and she hangs up, and then they call back and they go, "Freddy's coming for you," and then she hangs up again. So she's being stalked by what she thinks is a fan. She's getting these letters in the mail, and each one of the letters has a literal letter of the alphabet written on it. Well, she gets a phone call from the people who had been working on the original Nightmare series,
and they want her to come do another movie. Wes is writing a script, and this is the first time that Wes has been involved in the series since number three. Kind of like I was telling y'all earlier, he'd only worked on the first and third one. And she's like, I thought you killed off Freddy. And they're like, well, the fans won't let him die. So they're going to do another Freddy movie. We go back to her husband. He's on set. And the two guys who had worked on the set with him didn't come into work that day. These are also, strangely enough, the two guys who got hurt by the Freddy hand in Heather's dream. So basically what the idea is, the stuff that's happening in Heather's dream is happening and crossing over into real life. So you never know what's movie and what's not movie. And the whole movie pretty much continues that way. Her son starts having episodes. He'll be watching Nightmare on Elm Street, the original, on television. She'll unplug it and then wake him up because he's like dream watching it or something. So he's having these episodes as well as Heather having these strange dreams. So that night, the dad's driving home from work. He inevitably blinks, which, of course, as I've told you, blinking means he's falling asleep while he's driving his truck. He has a really bad wreck. But in the wreck, you see like the Fred hand come up and slice him open. So Heather wakes up. Dylan, which is her son, basically is like in front of her. And she's like, why aren't you in bed? I'm having a bad dream. And then right then the cops knock on the door. And of course, it's to tell her that the husband's died. So it's just, I don't know. It's an interesting movie. So it keeps going like that, where it escalates. They have more and more Freddy dreams. The son keeps having these episodes. In one dream, he actually has a stuffed dinosaur. And when he wakes up, there's like Fred scratches through it in real life. And it's just a cool movie because you never know what's happening and what's not happening. And I don't want to spoil too much because I think it's really one that I think both of you at some point, if you have any interest in horror and slasher movies, you should probably check it out. But it's the final of the Nightmare movies, with the exception of Freddy vs. Jason, which, have you guys seen that one?
Yes, I have.
I have seen that one.
Okay, and that's the final one. But of the actual series of Nightmares, is the last one. But it's really cool because it predates Scream by a few years, but it's kind of got that vibe where it's really, I think, making commentary on fans. It's making commentary on horror movies, and it's making commentary on, like, Freddy itself, because there's one point where Wes is like, you know, Freddy starts to become almost a joke and it's too jokey, and the Freddy they have in this is a much darker, much meaner version than they had in the last handful of the Nightmare on Elm Street films. So I think it was almost a way that Wes Craven took Freddy back from the directors and writers that took over after he left the series, and he's like, this is my vision of what Freddy should be, because like I say, he's just a very mean. If he has a quip, it's not like, welcome to prime time or whatever. It's, you know, it's more like, I'm going to gobble you up kind of a thing. It's much scarier, kind of Pennywise type scary, than it is the old Freddy that has some quip about, now you're playing with power or whatever, you know, which is from the worst one, by the way. Never watch Freddy's Dead. There's a scene where he literally makes a guy jump around while he's playing on his power glove. It's so stupid. So this one I would highly recommend. Of the first one is a must watch. I think the third one is a very good watch, and then this one is a very good watch, because not only is it an interesting movie in the series, it's an interesting movie and commentary on series films in the horror genre. So it's worth checking out.
Interesting.
Yeah, at some point I'll look at it. I've been in the mood to like watch films sequentially. I just finished The Expendables, and I finished all the Death Wishes and all the Rambos in sequential order. But I haven't been in the horror mood lately, which is very odd.
But how many Expendables are there?
Three. But there's going to be a fourth one in the making right now.
Okay, I've never seen the third one. I've seen the first two. I liked both.
It was the same thing with me. I had never seen the third one. Yeah. But I was always excited to see, like, who the next action hero was going to be.
Oh, right,
like,
yeah.
Like, Jean-Claude Van Damme and Chuck Norris were in the second one, and the third one, it was Harrison Ford and Wesley Snipes. You know, like, they'd always add, like, somebody.
Right.
And I was always excited to see how it was, and it was always fun to... They'd play off of their, you know, puns and stuff that they make in the movies, and get to the chopper. You know, you have Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, Arnold's in one of those. I remember. Yep.
He's actually in all three.
Is he in all of them? Okay, yeah, I couldn't remember that. Yeah.
He plays a guy named Trencher, and he was in all three. Like, in a couple of them, he doesn't do much. In the second one, he has some action scenes. The third one, he does as well. But Jet Li is, like, in all three, but he's not always as part of an expendable. Mm. So,
does,
yeah,
Jackie ever show up in them? Jackie Chan?
No, Jackie Chan.
Holy crap, you can get all three of those on Blu-ray for $7.
Wow.
That's
Man,
pretty
you're
good.
A bad influence. I'm buying it right now.
Yeah, well, it is so much fun. Like,
yeah,
just,
I love the first two.
It's, like, action like you wouldn't believe.
I've never seen any of them.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, they're very over the top. They're a lot of fun though. He's absolutely right. They're good stuff.
Great casting. I mean, it's all the action movies that you watched bundled in one action movie with all these stars.
Yeah.
And they're sort of like playing themselves. Like it's so weird. It's like making commentary on all their action movies. But yeah, I've been into them. I watched Jet Li in a movie I hadn't seen before. It was called The One.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's like a multiverse thing.
We watched Zodiac maybe 2 months ago, and I kept thinking I need to get Dirty Harry. I finally ordered that, so I'm going to be watching Dirty Harry soon.
That's very funny that you mentioned it, because I was just telling my wife, where should I go next? And I said, God, I really want to watch Dirty Harry. But yep. None of them are straight. I'm doing it different. I'm not doing the physical media. I'm kind of watching it as I can stream it. And then I just jump from service to service to service on the services that I already get. And I've been pretty successful, but the Dirty Harrys weren't there, and I was like, "Damn, I wanted to watch the Dirty Harrys."
Mm-hmm. Well, but, if you're even interested in owning the Blu-ray, I ordered the first two for like $8 and change. Mm-hmm. So that's usually my unless it's something that's really unique that I want to own a physical copy. It comes down to like if it's not streaming somewhere that I'm watching, can I get it basically the same price as a rental? And if it's in that $4 to $5 sweet spot, I'll just go ahead and buy it. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I've hit that thing where I just have too many DVDs. Like,
sure.
And I love the convenience of streaming. I could just do it anywhere. And I'm kind of done with the physical media in terms of DVDs. I mean, the only thing I want to do physical media for anymore is comics. But
yeah.
It's taking up so much damn space that it's like it's so expensive.
I tell you, I was where you were a few years ago, and I've come back to it because that one derecho when we had a power outage for like 5 days and no Wi-Fi for a week, it's awfully awesome to be able to like pop stuff into something to watch. So it just depends. It's all about price at this point for me.
Yeah.
Because luckily I have the room, so. But I get that.
I still buy if I really like a movie, then I'll buy it. But most of this stuff I can watch streaming. That's okay.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, music I can't. I have to buy it. Like if it's a band that I want to listen to. It's like if I just buy the digital version, I find myself like never listening to it. And if I buy the CD, I throw the CD in and I actually listen to it. I don't know why that is, but
yeah, music wise, I'm totally onto the iTunes streaming, so I listen to what I want when I want, whatever I want.
Yeah, I'm like that with books because I just don't have the bookcase room. So
yeah, books I will do digitally unless it's like Stephen King. I love, you know, I mean, I love Stephen King. I'll still buy his releases, but that's pretty much it. Everything else is just, if I want to read it, I buy the digital version.
Yeah. I prefer physical media. Like it's not about not preferring it. Like it's my desired medium. It's sure. It's totally 100%.
No, it's not. You're the digital guy now.
Yep. It's a space issue.
Tommy Digital, that's what I call him.
Yep.
Well, exactly. I do like digital comics because it's the best thing to do in the middle of the night when I can't sleep. I just pop that iPad open, no lights are on, and I can read whatever I want, whenever I want.
I do so much better reading my physical comics than I do the digital ones because once I get a pad, I'm like, I'm thinking about books, I'm thinking about movies, I'm thinking about like Twitter, and then I just forget. I forget to use Unlimited or the Marvel app, and it just, I space it.
Wow.
Whereas like
you,
I have
did
a,
you did I, Rob, did you join finally or not yet?
The Unlimited? No, not yet. I will be, but because it's all, you know, backed up, you know, what is it, 3 6 months
it's,
or whatever,
it's 3 months. I thought it was six. Oh. But it's three.
Okay,
it seems 3 months, like an eternity. But
so I think that's I think in June I'm gonna need to get it just to catch back up. I got maybe even next month. Anyhow, it's not yet. I'm still, anything I ended, I'm still getting this month, and I think starting next month, everything going to go digitally. So yeah,
everything on Marvel,
no,
or
but the ones that I chose, I mean, they all start.
What's left?
Still
X-Men. You're
like,
keeping the X-Men, right?
So all the X-Men stuff I get at the LCS.
Even the Marauders?
No. Only the, so, but that's a good point that if I want to catch up now and see, okay, what is it? Is it any better? Do I like, you know, I can read that stuff. I'll be able to read it digitally. But so most of the X-Men though is at the LCS. DCBS is Steve Rogers, Captain America, She-Hulk. Sure, there's
Amazing Spider-Man?
No, I'm dropping this.
Wow.
I'm gonna read it digitally, but I don't need to buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna read it digitally for sure. I'm just trying to think.
Avengers?
That's just starting back up, so I said I'll just read it digitally.
Hulk?
Hulk is starting back up. I'll just read it digitally.
Get that first issue because you do not want to be one of those people who didn't get the first Immortal Hulks, and those things are crazy expensive now.
It's fine. What am I going to do with them anyhow?
I don't know.
I'm gonna sell them.
No, that's fair. I just don't want you to regret that one.
I know. I just need to.
That one Hulk blew up so big, I'm glad I picked it up because if I wanted it later, I would have been mad at myself.
Yeah, I just have to change my mind. Believe it or not, Planet of the Apes I'm buying because that made the cut that first month, so I'm just gonna stick it out with physical for Planet of the Apes. But
have you read it?
Star Wars? No, it hasn't come yet. It's
it has.
Mine came.
Mine came too.
I'm sure everyone else has came. I'm DC.
It came this week. It was in this week's shipment.
Yeah, mine came this week too. Yeah.
I had to send the email to our lovely lady Yvonne and DCBS, who always answers everyone's emails.
Yeah.
It was just next shipment, next shipment, next shipment. Then you look, you know how they have that code as one of your items, like whether it's weekly shipment or twice a month.
Yeah.
It there was nothing on there, so I'm like, can you see if my stuff is gonna ship because it had been 3 weeks because of the extra week in the month.
Are you doing it every other now?
Yeah, every other.
I'm almost to go there because me and Barb were talking and she's like, "Wow, your boxes are getting light," and I'm like, "Yeah, well, I've cut a lot," and I said, "Yeah, I could probably go to, you know, twice month shipping now."
Mm-hmm. Save a little bit of money.
Yeah,
a little bit. So I can apply it to the storage unit.
I needed to send her the email. She forced it into, so now it says, you know, get preparing to ship or whatever.
Yeah.
So of course, it's been preparing to ship since Thursday. So
dang.
Maybe it'll come at some point.
Well, I know that they don't. If you do a 5-week month, you're going to be shafted in 1 week.
Yeah, this is it. This last week would be 3 weeks of shipment. So it should have shipped last week with those 3 weeks, but I had to send the email because for whatever reason it wasn't spitting out that it should be shipped.
Mm.
So yeah, I've got three weeks coming.
Man, I hate hearing this because I'm switching back over to DCBS because my comic shop got rid of piggybacking.
What is piggybacking? Oh, you could do old and new?
Yeah, they just got
rid
of it.
Why did they do that?
I don't know. That's why I kept it.
No, but what was the email? What did they say? We're getting rid of it? Or?
Basically, they're going to start charging shipping per item if you piggyback. And I was like, nah, I'm done.
But how do they justify that? I don't know.
I was already paying more for their shipping than I was for DCBS anyway. So I'm just, we never completely quit getting DCBS because that's how Jack was getting his books because he wanted the bigger discount. So we're just switching back over and I'll slowly let my comic shop peter out. So it's fine.
Oh, that's crazy.
But anyway, the one thing I was going to tell you, and I sent a pic about how I stay on top of it physically, is I have a little like slot, almost like a mailbox, where the top slot's the Batman daily books, the next is indie books, the next is new Marvel, the next is DC, and the last one is just old books. And so that's how I stay on top of my reading, is because it's always visibly staring at me in the face. Whereas like when I was doing it digitally, if I don't have it in front of me, sometimes I forget about it. And with comics, I like to stay on top of it because it's dumb. You're supposed to enjoy it, right? But I literally would get stressed when the piles would get too big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
I'm the same way as you, Joe.
Yeah. So this is the way I found it helps me stay on top of it, and it's a lot less stressful for me. So that's
how I
don't
get stressed until I start paying the storage unit fees every year, and I just get frustrated when they raise the prices. And
oh, sure.
So I had those digital, the DC and the Marvel one in the past, but I would end up, just because I had so much physical to read, I would never get to anything. So even
You have to schedule it. Like have to stay. In other words, like for me, X-Men, like I just read it when it comes out, right? So like every Monday or Tuesday when they have new releases, I see the new releases and say, "Oh, there's a new Immortal X-Men or whatever. I'm gonna go read that."
Right.
You know.
I mean, no, that makes sense. Like in like initially back when I still had the DC one, but I was still buying so much. Like there was a handful of stuff like, oh, this looks good, but it's just a 3-issue like prestige series or something. I would snap a picture of it from the DC Connect or whatever. And I'm like, you know, I'll file that away. And then when it's available on the app, which at that point it was 6 months, I'm like, I'll read it. But do you think I ever read any of them? Not even once. But I think I'm hoping that this time it will work because I've cut back enough on the physical that I really will have the time, because I mean, there's stuff that I was reading in the first place. Right.
Yeah. Now,
and like you said, Mike, I'm going to kind of like, okay, you know, it's 3 months later. Okay. Now I can read my Star Wars issues, you know, or, you know, check up on what Spider-Man and stuff like
that's
that.
That's the
so
one
I
that's really killing me is Star Wars. Like I swear every week I say, should I just pull the Star Wars back in? Cause
you should just pull it.
I want to like decrease some independence and increase my Marvel. It's so weird.
Yeah.
I just am more of a creature of habit, and the habit happens to be DC and Marvel. I love my indies, but if anything has to go, it'll probably be that.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Since I've done the major cutback, I am a mixture of probably, let's say, 50% DC, 30% Marvel, 20% what's left over for, you know, and it's the big indies for the most part. It's the Images and the Booms and the Dark Horses. So
I'm the same way. DC is my highest.
Yeah.
And then Marvel is there, and then Image, and then it kind of goes. But I it's not that I don't like the other stuff. It's just like something that you've been there always, and I always want you there. Kind of. It's such a weird mentality. I can read an indie, and it's better than the Amazing Spider-Man issue, but there's some kind of like comfort with Amazing Spider-Man because I've been reading it. So
yeah, and you have all that past history with character for decades, you know.
And even if it's a little subtle thing, I know what that subtle thing is. It's like, and I can read a 5 out of 5 independent, and I'm like, oh, but that's done. Like it,
and yeah, it's over with now. Yeah, exactly. It's no, done. I totally get that. That makes all the sense in the world. But you know, what's funny is that the other last time we talked, our last podcast, I think I mentioned that I wasn't going towards the DC one yet. But now, like, they keep releasing all that stuff that like some horror, like mini or something is coming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see anything about this, like Terror Nights or Horror Nights?
Yeah, I saw something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so anyhow, I guess they're going to have like 13 tie-ins of 2 issues, like, you know, like Terror, whatever it's called, Terror Nights, Nightwing, number 1 and number 2. Superman the same way, number 1, number 2. Batman, number 1. And I'm just thinking in my head, I'm like, do I need to own all of those?
No.
I absolutely not. So I'm like, I was talking to Stacey this week, and I'm like, you know what, I think if we can swing it, I want to get the DC service as well, because that's an entire month that I don't have to pick up any of these 2-issue series.
Well, the other thing that's great about it is you could read like Lazarus Planet and you don't have to buy it all. And those are expensive.
They are.
Right.
Yep.
Yes. See, and that was the last one that I actually bought, you know, physically. And I'm like, whether you like it or not, like, I don't need to own those, all these like one-shot issues. I could just read them. I don't need to have them. Yeah. Whereas, like, you know, that hits my collecting spot where, like, you know, if I have a complete run of something, like, it's really difficult for me to say I'm going to.
Well, like, that's probably why you're like X-Men. Like, you have all the X-Men. So it's I've vested all this. Well, I'm the same way, but I have it across many titles, like Avengers, Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
So and the Star Wars was like that, and it's like, God, I almost called the LCS and just said, add all the Star Wars, and then I'll go backtrack the 3 months I missed or 4 months.
I've done that. Don't do it.
I know, but it's like. I swear that's the only one that's killing me.
Because then
the
you'd
only
be
one...
like, why did I buy this freaking Mandalorian series? It's literally just the show. Yeah, don't do it, man.
It's the show, but I'm a sucker for adaptations.
But it's not as
No,
good.
I love the Star Wars adaptations. I love the Raiders of the
Here's
Ark
the
adaptations.
Thing. You can still
this is
love
the
it
Mandalorian
and read it. You don't
adaptation.
Need to have it, file it away somewhere.
Exactly.
No, but it's the physicalness of it. It's like it's there. It's there. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, what's funny is like we all, like all three of us know exactly how you feel.
Yeah. I've literally done that with Star Wars. With it. Yeah. I mean, I cut all the Star Wars because I'm one of those, and I know this is, Mike's not going to like this, but I think I've told y'all this before. I sometimes when I've been all or nothing, when you make me mad enough, I'll just switch to the nothing. And I did that. I did that with Valiant when they did that thing with because I'd had almost the complete run of the new Valiants, and then they did that thing where I wasn't going to be able to get that one variant. And
oh,
just,
the Geomancer one or something.
Yeah, and I just I just said, you know what, I'm out, and I dumped everything. But I think Bloodshot right then and there because they pissed me off so bad.
Yeah,
I was like, why am I trying to be completist if I can't get this in a budget that I can afford?
Right. I'm still all in on that Valiant, too.
Oh, well, me too. What, that one issue a month.
One issue a month? That's not hard. But that really... I
at least they're
really...
still around, man. I don't know how long they're going to last with that one issue a month, but...
Boy, they couldn't have planned the release of Bloodshot any worse than when it hit, because that was the week the world shut down.
Yeah, that was just
it's like they're cursed. Somehow they're cursed.
Yeah. The olden days, we would have said that snake bit. Yeah.
Oh, horrible. But, you know, it is, I mean, that right away when they came out with the new Star Wars stuff, like in between Empire and Return, I said, okay, I'm going to. But I never bought, like, what was it? What is it called? Something Aphra or Aphra?
Dr. Aphra.
Yeah, so I've never bought that before. So I'm like, you know, I'm not going to get it. I'm going to get Bounty Hunters. I'm going to get Darth Vader. I'm going to get Star Wars. And then the more as it was going, I'm like, I wasn't really digging Bounty Hunters as much as I thought. So I dropped that. So it was just.
See, I like that one a lot.
Bounty Hunters is my favorite, too.
Really? That's my favorite, too.
Darth Vader, I think, is absolutely amazing. I actually thought
about second favorite
physically, but I'm like, if I'm not going to keep Star Wars physically, why do I need to keep Darth Vader? I'll just read them at the same time. Because, you know, so many connections when they do those events and stuff. But, and then, like you were saying, Joe, I mean, now it's Yoda and Han Solo and Chewbacca and...
The Ewoks.
But the Old Republic. I'm like, no, I'm not getting all of these. I'm just not buying them all.
Well, my greatest fear when Dark Horse lost the license, and I remember writing this in an email to my friend, is like that they're going to double ship and there's going to be twice as many titles. I don't know that they ever got super bad about double shipping like I thought they would, but
no.
I mean, we're at the point where the amount of titles is literally, I think, actually tripled of what
it's probably eight or nine
was doing. Exactly.
Eight or nine a month.
Because Dark Horse was doing, I think, at their top, maybe
four
or five.
Yeah.
And they've doubled that easy. And usually towards the end, I think Dark Horse was maybe three issues a month. So, yeah. And they definitely have just become so many that I'm just like, it's too much. I said, I'm done. And I've done that before, and God knows I'll probably do it again. They'll sucker me in and I'll buy a bunch again. But for right now, I'm out on the Star Wars and just reading it when I can on the digital.
I get it. I mean, I've gotten really angry before. the most famous one was New 52. Like, I was appreciative on one side of trying, like, them starting a bunch of other series that maybe weren't so popular,
right.
You know? On the other hand, I'm like, really? You're going to restart all of these? You're going to restart Detective Comics system at number one?
One made me mad. That in like, action pissed
so
me off.
Any of the ones that I was buying before, like religiously buying, I didn't buy anymore except for Batman. That was like the only one. I didn't buy Detective Comics. I didn't buy Action Comics. I didn't buy Superman. Didn't buy Wonder Woman. I didn't buy – I actually bought some of Flash, but then I dropped it. Didn't buy any of the Green Lanterns. I bought like all of the B and C tier books, and that was it. And it was just because I was aggravated.
Sure. Have you read?
I don't ever get aggravated except with Bad Idea. Or Dinesh would always do something in Valiant or Bad Idea that would piss me off.
Yeah.
He's the only one, though. Like he does that collector's thing that drives me nuts.
Yeah.
I just want the goddamn book to read it.
Same.
I mean,
he's such a collector personally. If you follow him,
he is. So.
The
he
most
does it on
obscure,
purpose.
Weird,
that's why I was like, so happy to get books. This deal, Rob. That's why I was like, because I wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted the Bad Idea. I just didn't want to pay what they were doing and then go out of my way for shipping and all the other hassle.
That's when I dropped. Is when the prices got expensive and I was still paying for shipping. When I quit doing them. Yeah. So I bought some from Paul when he was done with his, and I haven't read anything since. And it was good story.
Good stuff, yeah.
I feel sorry for the artists and writers because I'm not going to support it, and I wish they'd find a way to get it to, you know, an audience that was more affordable, but I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
Right.
I feel
bad
for them.
I'll, I'll cover my next book.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
So this is a Charlton one I just bought recently. This is Special War Series number 4, which is Judo Master. And this is the origin of Judo Master. And he's Sergeant Jaeger. And he's in World War II. And he's with a rookie soldier. And they hear something. And this guy's got, like, the jitters, right? He's like, oh, God, there's some noise. And he's like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And he's like, I think you hit something, but I don't know what you hit. So he goes and checks, and he brings out a body from the forest, and he starts carrying it, the sergeant does. And then a bunch of Japanese soldiers come and surround him, and they sort of capture him. So you think, oh, wow, you know, this guy's going to be dead. But then all of these guys come out with Japanese swords. They have no guns, no nothing. They just come out of nowhere and sort of rescue him. And they raise him to become a super fighter. It very, very similar to like Thunderbolt, but this is in World War II. This one guy teaches him how to become a judo master. And he becomes so well at it that he exceeds the teaching that he was taught. And then goes back. He finds out that the girl that he actually rescued a girl when he went back into the forest to get her, and it was the guy that's training him, his daughter, or related to him anyway. So that's why this guy felt he was indebted to help him and become this judo master. And then he sort of becomes like a war hero. And the other thing that was interesting is I didn't know that his costume was sort of bulletproof. It's a flexible shield, renders Judo Master invulnerable to bullets, insulates him against electricity, and has qualities which confound his enemies in the next issue of Judo Master. So it has all these different abilities. And then the other thing that's very fascinating to me about these Charlton books is their stories are not, like, they do not give you, like, that third dimension of characterization. They're just stories, like... They don't give you like any kind of like emotion, like I'm going to feel sad for this character. Or I'm going to feel they're kind of flat.
No, but I would agree with that.
That's like the Charlton formula. They're just sort of flat.
I always used to think with their war books, not so much the ones with the superheroes, that they would just have it would be very chop ending where it didn't have very like felt like things got tied up. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It'd just be very pat. It would just like it. Stopped.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially with their war books. Like, if you compare their war book with the DC war book, it's not even, like, close.
Right.
But it's still fascinating to me, like, the way they tell stories, the way they do them. This was a interesting book, too, because at the back, they have a Sarge Steele telling you how to do judo. Like, he's giving you, like, the history of judo. So it's weird because the artist depicts actual, like, motions, you know, like physical motions in judo. It's pretty interesting and very an interesting read for sure.
That's cool.
But, yeah, that was the first appearance of Judo Master in Special War series, and that Special War series was only 4 issues. And then it goes over to, like, Judo Master 50. Jumps around like crazy, but I enjoyed it quite a bit. And this copy is such a, like, it was an eBay purchase, and it was a really nice copy. Like, it's definitely like a 6.0 to a 8.0 in that nice range. It looks really nice.
Here's the one question I have for you. Did he eat flaming hot Cheetos that early on in his career?
No. Because he looks like one, or what?
Oh, did you see the Peacemaker series?
Yes. Oh, yes. Because the Judo Master character ate, he liked the flaming hot Cheetos. Yeah. He's so tiny in that series too. He's like,
he is, but I was just
he's like
funny
4 foot 12, or I mean, he's 4 foot nine or something. He's small.
God, I love that.
Oh, can everyone hear latte?
Oh yeah. Did you hear Kristen sneak in and get the dumbbell? She just did that too. She's like, "Are you on?" I'm like, "Yeah."
No, I didn't hear her.
Well, good. She did a good job.
Yeah, stealthy.
It's like right? A ninja.
I don't know. All right, I'll do it. Mike, you all set? Ready for
yeah,
me?
Yeah, I'm set. Okay.
All right, so I'm going to last time I covered AmeriComics number 3, so this time I'm going to cover AmeriComics number 2. I go backwards.
Nice.
This one deals with, again, this is by AC Comics, and it's an anthology series, and it's got 3 stories and this one as well. It's got The Shade again, which he appeared in the 3rd issue as well, where that was the one where like he was totally ineffective and just going from place to place after the events had already happened and people were dying left and right, and he wasn't able to save anyone. Then there's The Messenger. That's the longest story in this, and that's original character by Jerry Ordway. And then lastly, we have a short 4-page story of Tara, who is like a jungle girl, a Florida jungle girl.
Florida Everglades girl?
Uh-huh, yep.
Nice.
So
she
the
has
first
that
story,
like green outfit or
Yeah, it's just I mean basically it's just like a camouflage bikini basically.
I was envisioning the cover to Gator Bait.
No, yeah. No, it's just a So
that's a good movie.
Right.
that the woman that plays her, like if you read her backstory, it's pretty fascinating.
The
girl in Gator Bait. I don't know, she's an actress that I think she died a suicide or drug overdose, I can't remember, but it was a pretty interesting article on her. Because she's absolutely beautiful in Gator Bait. Like, you watch Gator Bait and it's like, where did they get this woman from? She's just
Claudia
absolutely
Jennings.
Gorgeous.
she was 29 when she died.
Yeah, that's she died young. Very, very young. It was a car accident, wasn't it? I can't remember what it was.
Hang on. Oh, it was a head-on
car accident.
Yep. She died a few minutes later from massive external and internal injuries before the ambulance could even arrive.
Oh, she's Playmate of the Year for 1970.
She is beautiful in that movie. Like the movie is like a female revenge story.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But she stands out because all the other actors look like crap, and she's just like gorgeous on the screen.
Have you seen Gator Bait 2, Cage and Justice?
I didn't know they had one. Is it streaming?
No.
Dang.
It is not. It just offers to add it to your watch list. And this, oh, it is on AMC Plus.
Oh, that's
freaking
the one
AMC
I don't
Plus!
Have.
Oh
money
no! Sorry. That was the first one.
Oh, okay.
I don't. That's where I watched back. The first one on AMC Plus.
Yeah, sorry.
I don't have. That. I don't have it now, but I don't know what they're doing because they're merging HBO Max and AMC Plus. So I don't know what that means to me.
No, it's not AMC Plus. It's Discovery.
Oh, Discovery Plus. You're right. They're merging Discovery Plus.
Dang it! You got me excited, Mike. I was like, ooh, all this stuff I keep saying I'm not going to get AMC for. I could just wait till they merge.
Well, AMC Plus has Shudder too, so that's why I liked it.
Yeah.
I know. I still haven't switched over to just get the AMC Plus. Probably should because there's been too many that I've wanted to see that aren't available on Shudder, but they are on AMC Plus for some reason. You know,
frickin'
horror
A.
movies. I think they'd be all on Shudder and some not on AMC Plus.
Well, now you can watch a Cocaine Bear. It's on NBC. You have that one.
Yeah, it's on Peacock.
I do.
Yeah. That movie's so good.
Yeah. I want to see that.
Cocaine Bear. It's definitely worth it. I mean, you got to go in with the mentality, okay, this movie is called Cocaine Bear. It's Cocaine Bear for a reason. And if you go in with that mentality, you'll enjoy it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to start with The Shade. That's the first story here. And the beginning here is just basically it starts at a newscast, and that there was a vigilante around that was getting some good press and some support, because it was this vigilante was striking down members of organized crime. However, most recently, and what they're reporting is that he openly attacked police officers in the line of duty, and and five of them had to go to the hospital. So the commissioner of police is putting out an arrest on this guy, and our guy, the Shade, who's that artist who's in the wheelchair, Roger Brandt, he's thinking to himself that perhaps he knows. That he knows this guy because he remembers reading about him when he was just a kid, and maybe he's back. Now, they call him just the Terror in here, but he has not the same mask, but this exact same costume as Black Terror, like that, you know, the old Golden Age character.
With the skull and bones on the shirt.
Yeah, so I'm sure that that's what this character is. Why they don't just call him what it is, I don't know.
AC does play in the public domain a lot. Yeah.
So I'm not sure, but anyhow, it does cut over to the Terror, and he's looking for this particular killer, and he's beating up bad guys all over the place. And it does a flashback where it shows back when he was just a regular guy. And he had denied the organized crime some help when he worked at a pharmacy. And this one gangster that was bald, he took a machine gun to the entire drugstore and shot and killed Terror's girlfriend. So it made it seem like this was quite some time ago. Not quite sure why this is just coming through now, but anyhow, he has decided to put his costume back on and finish his mission. And so there's another encounter here, goes back to the president, and he's again searching for this bald guy. And in his rounds, he encounters some more police. And of course, now he's wanted by the police. So, he's like, no, they can't take me in yet. I haven't fulfilled my mission. So he actually knocks down like a whole side of a building and knocks out the police and gets away. And this is where the Shade finally makes an appearance that Roger Brandt, he is able to kind of summon his astral self, so to speak. And he becomes the Shade, and he comes after he comes after the Terror, and after a brief battle, they start going up on the rooftop, and Terror thinks that he's like, well, you can't. Okay, oh, I can't. You know, I can't hit you, but you know, you can't touch me either. And Shade says wrong, and he goes solid and punches Terror right off of the rooftop, and he goes flying down. And Shade realizes, he's like, oh, I'm not trying to send this guy to his death. So apparently Shade also has mental powers, and he's able to move things, telekinesis. So he actually pushes out one of the fire escape ladders within range of the Terror, and Terror goes ahead and grabs it and swings through one of the windows. And he's like, that was a close one. You know, I got to get ready. He'll be here any second. And Shade, you know, taps him on the shoulder and says, I'm already here. And just as they're about to face off again, Terror grabs like a circuit breaker, a fuse box rather, and he rips it off the wall, and he throws it at the Shade. Shade goes intangible, but the electricity actually disrupts his being, and it kind of like disrupts and disappears. So Terror is able to get away, and then you see the Shade then in the night that he's reformed himself, but you know, Terror got away, so he's going to have to face him again another day. So that was the first one. The second story is all about the messenger, and he is a scientist, and he was tasked with doing a top secret experiment to tap humans' hidden strength. So he's working on this formula, and he thinks he's got it close to being perfected, and he's thinking to himself that once he's done, he can go get married to his girlfriend and have a normal life. And suddenly he gets held up by a couple of guys with guns. They throw him in the back of a car, and they say they want the actual formula, and he says never, and they have his fiance. And so he's like, all right, fine. He's like, you know, this works on test animals, but I don't know if it's going to work on humans or not. So he's studying this and trying to figure, you know, finishing the formula basically under the guard of these guys. And he happens to walk by just as the two are talking to each other. And, the one guy says to the other, talking about their boss named Vince Vecino. And he says, you know, once this guy's, the good guy's name is Van Nguyen, and is, once he's done, we can go ahead and kill Van Nguyen and his girlfriend. And so he realizes they have no intention of letting them live. So he in secret, he finishes the formula, and he injects it, of course, into himself. And sure enough, he's got a super strength. And as you know, similar to a lot of these other stories, you know, he confronts the bad guys, and sure enough, you know, the girl gets caught in the crossfire, and she ends up being shot and killed. And it turns out that the one the one mobster guy kills the other one, and it seems like he wasn't down with them actually being killed, and he actually was working for the government, so he didn't intend any of this to happen. He was kind of working undercover, so they end up working to give the messenger a new identity and all of that. And he ends up becoming a costumed hero called the Messenger. And there's a whole even more backstory with it. But suffice to say that now it's in the present, and he's doing some patrolling, and he sees these two guys beating up a third, and he stops them, and he's like, oh, one of those, that taller guy looked familiar, and it was a guy that he had known in the past, in one of his flashbacks, but he doesn't think anything more of it. And he flies off. He's got a jetpack as well. That's how he flies around. And unbeknownst to him, his formula, which there had been a, you know, back when he first injected it, there was a full-fledged fire that thought that his formula was lost. It had not, and actually had been saved. So they're looking for a volunteer to try this on. They finally now, these two in secret have finished the formula, and they have a volunteer. So they go ahead and they inject it into him, and the messenger is basically, he's all by himself. He lives in an old rundown like hotel. He's just feeling sorry for himself because he's still thinking about his girlfriend who had died, and he's like, oh, I bought all these sleeping pills, maybe it's time to just do the end of my life. And then he's like, wait a minute, he's like, I got plenty to live for, so no. And he gets a couple neighbors come in, they start chatting, and they say that they're a friend of theirs disappeared without a trace about a week ago, and they don't know where he could be. So he's like, all right, well, you know, let me see if something's happened to him. Now we know that that friend is the volunteer that took that that new formula. So he goes ahead and messenger puts his suit back on. He's going to start looking around when suddenly there's a knock on his door, and it is this guy. And it turns out that it's a guy that he had known years before. His name's Frank, and yeah, Frank doesn't appreciate that messenger wouldn't work with the government and went on his own. So they start getting involved with each other, knocking each other out. Messenger throws Frank through the window. He's like, oh my God, I forgot he was in front of a window. Where did he go? And he looks out the window, and Frank grabs him from behind. They both go flying down. And messenger shifts his weight and manages to bounce off an awning, whereas Frank lands right on the roof of a car. And it's not clear whether or not he's dead or just knocked out. But anyhow, he ends up, Frank's brother comes out of the woodwork and starts questioning him. And he tells messenger where Frank was. And he goes back to try to figure out who was giving him the formula. It's that one FBI agent from years ago. He's still working on this stuff. And, you know, they start talking and stuff. And, you know, he's obviously messenger's really, really pissed off. And they're talking. And then the last thing that you you discover is that he's like, you remember how we arranged a new identity for you? He's like, well, we did the same for your girlfriend. She did not die in that warehouse. And so... she's like, well, you know, he's like, well, where is he? Where is she? You got to tell me. And he's like, listen, that was years ago. She lives out in California, but, you know, she thought that you died. You thought that she died. You know, she's married. She's got a husband. You can't, you know, walk in on that. And he's like, yeah, you're probably right. And he goes up on the rooftop and he's just like holding his head in sadness. And that was the end of the long messenger story. It was all right. And then the last one is Tara on Jungle Island, and it just talks about the fact that she is the child of a millionaire industrialist, and she had some youthful idealism when she studied in college. She majored in ecology, and she actually convinced her rich father to set aside an entire area, a bunch of islands off the coast of Florida as a refuge. And basically she's at this point she's rescuing big cats. So the point of this particular story is that zoos have become very successful at breeding big cats at their zoos, and to the point where there are more cubs than they can really handle, and sometimes depending on the zoo and depending on the circumstance, they actually end up having to kill those animals just because there's not enough room for them. So hence this natural zoo, quote unquote, on these islands, and that's what Tara's mission is. And so we start out with her transporting some lions and some tigers off of a ship onto the island, and she comes driving up as her assistant named Janice is helping out. And she's like, maybe put a tarp over that tiger cage. It's a little close to the lions, and you know, we don't want any problems. And this one woman and with red hair and says, okay, yep, we can do that. And she goes over there, and instead of putting a tarp on, she actually opens up the cage of the tiger. And she's thinking in her head, this surprise cat's a gift from me and Dr. Rivets. And the Bengal tiger jumps right on top of Tara, and she's trying to hold him off of her as much as possible. She calls out to her assistant, and her assistant grabs a net and kind of like throws it up over the tiger's head just to kind of scare it and move it backwards a little bit. And it's enough to get that Tara can actually get up and move away. And she jumps at this this woman with the red hair and cracks her in the jaw and knocks her out. And then you see them basically putting her in handcuffs, and off in the distance behind the bushes, there's a guy like in a fedora and stuff, and a bald guy who's obviously like a scientist, and this is Dr. Rivets. They're watching this, and as Tara leaves, it's just this one guy that works for her that's got the woman handcuffed and transporting her to a building, and that gangster looking guy in the fedora knocks him out with the butt of his gun, and they release her, and it turns out that Doc Rivets is her father, and they basically want control of this island, because believe it or not, his computer, Doc Rivets' computer, has calculated that an alien spacecraft is going to be landing on that island, and he wants to be the first Earthman to contact an extraterrestrial, because he have more power than anyone could possibly imagine, and this island was deserted until Tara and her do-gooders ended up moving in. So he's very upset. He says no one will have this island but Dr. Rivets. And that guy that was helping Tara, who got knocked out, he comes to, and he makes his way back to Tara and Janet, and says, you know, someone broke out the girl. And they're like, what the heck's going on here? And then they see a seaplane flying away, and they don't know what exactly the situation was. But again, that was only 4 pages. So it was just like an introduction, but I thought it was kind of funny. It's like a very grounded, okay, this is going to be like a jungle type thing, very grounded with, you know, animals and stuff like that. And I don't know where this doctor, he wants to meet an alien species that is going to land on this planet, or on this island eventually.
Going to be friendly.
Well, yeah,
and not eat him. Like he might say,
take advantage of the situation and not be the first person to die. I don't know. Overall, this was, I thought, a much weaker issue than the third one. I'm actually glad I read that third one first. I enjoyed those stories more. The Messenger one was okay, but it was the best of the bunch. But it was kind of, even that one was kind of cliche, if you will. It was enjoyable enough. The Terra one was good for what it was. It was only four pages and a little weird, but the Shade one didn't really grab me again. So I guess I'm just not a big Shade fan.
That's a bummer, because he's in like a lot of those issues, right?
He is. He's been one of the constants. So I must be in the minority for sure in terms of popularity, because he was pretty much in all those issues from number one all the way through. But didn't do it for me, but anyhow, I'm still, you know, happy to read these. They're kind of cool.
Are you going to seek out more, or just if you happen across them?
If I happen across them, I will pick them up in a second. I'm not going to go to, like, my comic shop and buy them for like $4 or $5. Right. If I can find them for like I found these for like $1, I buy them in a second. But I'm not going to pay more than that for them plus shipping just to have them. But yeah, got another one, Joe?
Yeah, so I probably only have time to cover one of the comics today. I'll let you two choose which one. I got Adventures of Superman 426 or Daredevil 204.
I say Daredevil. What do you say, Mike?
I was gonna say Adventures of Superman, but
well, that's fine. so it's
which one did you enjoy more?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. They're both really good, and I promise you what, I'll save the other one for the next time.
Okay.
I'll go with Superman just because I told him, I was like, I need to get my Batman's read for today and a couple of books read for the show, and he picked out two. And as I mentioned to Rob before, one of them he picked was a fine issue, but it was so dense. I'm like, I don't want to cover this thing. So we'll go with the Superman. The one that was so dense, by the way, was Justice League of America 101. And it is one of the Seven Soldiers of Victory issues with, the annual crossover with JSA.
Oh, wow.
It was a fine issue, but... it was right smack in the middle. I think it was part two of three.
and B, it was super dense, and I'm just like, I don't want to have to remember all these moving parts. This one's
That's
a lot.
These Charlton ones took me at least 25 minutes to read.
Yeah.
They're super dense.
Yeah, so I went and there was the Daredevil.
What number was this Superman again?
It's going to be number 426.
426.
And it's one of those I was telling you, I had read 427 many, many years ago, because I think I bought 427 off the newsstand, and I never read the preceding issue, and this is the preceding issue. Or actually, maybe... it was I take it back. It was one of those where it was because it was a Legends crossover. It wasn't an Adventures of Superman. It was an Action Comics, and it was the one with Orion on the cover. So anyway, this is right in the smack middle of Legends. This is chapter 18 in the Legends crossover. It's Ordway and Wolfman. And it opens, there's a hunger dog fishing in one of the Smolten pits. And I don't know if that's what hunger dogs typically do. I just remember the Hunger Dogs graphic novel by Jack Kirby. And these hunger dogs don't look like what I remember Kirby's hunger dogs looking like. This just looks like a guy kind of dressed in rags, but whatever. At the moment, he's dressed like the human bomb, and he's fishing something out of this Smolten pit. And it happens to be our fellow Clark Kent dressed as the Man of Steel. So he pulls him out, and he's going to go show him off to the rest of the Hunger Dogs. And they're like, you're full of crap. There's no way somebody came out of the pit. And they wouldn't be able to survive. And he's like, sure he did. Watch this. And so he takes like a, I don't know, a torch, whatever you call them on Apocalypse, something burning, and puts Superman's hand over the flame. And he's like, see, he doesn't burn. And then all of a sudden Clark's like, what's going on my hand? And actually it did burn him. So something's going on where Clark's powers are not as good as normal. I'm assuming it's just Apocalypse doesn't have the same kind of sunlight radiation that we would have on Earth. Regardless, a character named Amazing Grace shows up and says, this is the savior that we've been looking for. And she grabs Superman and pulls him aside and says, you're going to lead us on to victory. And so the Hunger Dogs are rallying around Amazing Grace and Superman, and they start chanting, he is the savior, he's the savior, and they start throwing crap at the statue of Darkseid. We go to Darkseid's castle, and I'm sure you know he doesn't like insurrectionists. He starts getting pissed off. He sends in parademons. The parademons start attacking the Hunger Dogs. Even though Superman's powered down, he's still a fighter. So he jumps on one of the parademons, chokes him out. He knocks out another one. I wonder, parademons are kind of like stormtroopers. They don't seem to be very clever, and their aim isn't super good. So he does the bit where he has a parademon shoot a parademon while the parademon's shooting the parademon, and he just ducks, kind of a thing. And
they always do seem like pretty dumb creatures.
Yeah.
The only time they've ever played with that, I think, is Gail Simone in Secret Six. She had that, their parademon was in it.
Oh, that's right. They were actually they were one of the members, right?
Right, yeah.
Yep. So, long story short, excuse me, before it's over with, Superman has taken out all the parademons. He goes back to Amazing Grace. They hold each other's hands up in victory. We go to, where do the New Gods live? The other ones.
New Genesis.
New Genesis, that's right. So we go to New Genesis, and the source wall is being written on, and the Highfather is really upset by whatever it said. Light Ray and Orion say, what just happened? He says, the source has spoken of a terror, and I fear for the safety of us all. So it's just, you know, portents and omens of things that are coming. We go back to Superman and Amazing Grace. He's in a hot tub, and it looks like he's about to get some brown chicken, brown cow going on, because he was making out with everybody during that burn era, wasn't he? Especially if they were Apocalyptic, because that was when he was like making a porno with the Big Barda.
Big Barda.
Yeah. So,
hot tub. I think of Eddie Murphy. Hot tub.
He hot tubs it up with Amazing Grace. It's a really funny panel. It shows her taking her top off, and Kal-El is just delighted with glee that she's about to pop in the tub with him. Go back to the Hunger Dogs out on the street. They have taken Superman's costume, ripped it up, and put it on dolls, put it on flags, and they're selling it in the street. Another Hunger Dog takes to the Dark Side statue I mentioned earlier and rechisels the face into Kal-El. We go to a page where it's, oh man, that's a good ad. So I don't know if you remember the ad for the Detective Comics 572, the 50th anniversary issue, Mike Barr, Alan Davis, where it's got like, let's see, who all's on that? Looks like Nathaniel Dusk, Sherlock Holmes, Elongated Man, Batman and Robin. Do you remember that ad?
All the detectives, yeah.
Yeah, I just remember, that's one of those, there's been a half a dozen of these in my life, and I think I've tracked down most of them, where I remember seeing the ads for years, and the two that pop into my head besides this one are the Legion of Substitute Heroes special and the Loser special, and it was many, many, many years before I got my hands on a copy. Same thing with this one. I finally bought a copy many years later, and it's a great issue. I always think that's cool, those house ads that you would lust after something, and, you know, 25 years later is when you finally get a copy of it.
I know.
And sometimes it's just as good as you thought, and sometimes all the losers get killed and you're depressed, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, next page is Clark. He's dressed up in, like, this kind of gladiator-looking gear. He's got, like, the kind of like that thing that Hercules wears, where it's not really a helmet because like the hair's cut out, but it's kind of a helmet. I don't know how to describe it, but you know, imagine like what Shaft and all those guys that Liefeld draws.
A tiara.
Yeah, with
it's
the
like
chin
a
strap.
Wonder Woman. Yeah, with the chin strap.
Yeah, and so he's leading the Hunger Dogs against Apocalypse's force. He's like the greatest crusader now. We see Amazing Grace on a kind of like a balcony type thing overseeing the fight, and Clark goes to her, they're making out, and they're like, things are the way we have been wanting them. And then all of a sudden we see the parademons swoop in and start killing off all the Hunger Dogs, and it turns out that bastard Superman had teamed up with Darkseid to begin with. The whole point of this whole insurrection was to get all the insurrectionists to come out of hiding so that Darkseid could wipe them all out. And that sets us up for that issue that I was talking about with Orion versus Superman. And that would be issue, and I know it's an Action Comics, Action 586. So yeah, this was a really interesting one because you don't think it's going to go the way it goes at all. The twist at the end is a really good one where you think he's going to help these people who are, you know, being brutalized by Darkseid. And nope, turns out he was just kind of there to get them to all come out of the woodwork so the Darkseid.
He just wanted to get into the hot tub.
I mean, he enjoyed that hot tub.
He just wanted to get in the hot tub with Amazing Grace.
It's a good issue. I mean, it's tough to beat Marv Wolfman and Jerry Ordway. It's a good looking issue too.
Yeah, pretty issue. So my last book is another Charlton book. Even denser than the one before it, but it even has text on the cover. It pretty much tells you the whole story on the cover. It introduces all the characters, Lin Ying and Ivan Chung and Sarge Steel. But this is the first appearance of Sarge Steel. It's Sarge Steel number one from Charlton Thanks. Comics. And this guy is a private detective. He's got a great looking secretary. Matter of fact, he comes in like at, I don't know, 5 a.m. He had a rough night with the women, and he was partying, and comes in, and he's tired, and he's getting ready to fall asleep on his couch. He's tired, and his secretary comes in and says out loud instead of thinking to himself that she would, like, want him, but what does she say? What a ghastly shade of lipstick, and she has horrible taste in perfume. The lucky, lucky girl. She says it right in front of him. And then he says, I like yours and definitely better, Bessie. And your lipstick is much more enticing. Mr. Steele, don't you dare. Don't you dare. And so she's pretty sexy, but she brings in his client. His client is Lin Ying. She talks about her father being captured by somebody and missing pearls. In other words, there's these valuable pearls that her and her father had, and this guy, Ivan Chung, is after him. He's half Chinese and half Russian saboteur. And he just so happens to be the guy that blew up Sarge Steele back in Vietnam and gave him a steel hand. So it just happens to be, by coincidence, the same guy that was involved with crushing his hand and killing, or he had the cybernetic hand put on. So it gives a lot of flashbacks of going back to Vietnam and explaining, you know, what his relationship was with this guy, and then flashes forward to them having to they get captured, and they have to go get the pearls, and he's working with the CIA and his secretary. His secretary is pretty competent. She does a lot of work behind the scenes with the CIA and such. And they eventually end up taking this guy out. But it's a pretty simple story. It's pretty dense. There's a lot of backstory that they give. There's a great Charlton ad in here. And I didn't know that. I always learn something from these Charlton ads, because I was always into the action heroes like Sarge Steele or Blue Beetle. But they had an ad in here for Tarzan, and I didn't realize they had one. Jungle Tales either. Of Tarzan. And it made me very curious to go see what Tarzan was like at Charlton. But yeah, this is a cool comic. I don't have much Sarge Steele. I only have this one. And he moved, his title moved from Sarge Steele on to Private Eye. And that Private Eye I bought, I don't remember the issue, but I bought it because it had an appearance of Judo Master. But it was like the inverse of what I was talking about. It was Judo Master explaining judo in the backup. Like, just like Sarge Steele explained judo in the backup of Judo Master. Well, they like swapped stories and had a different artist do it. And Judo Master was explaining judo in the back of Sarge Steele. So, yeah.
Was it basically the same script?
No, it's different. It's different. But I bought that book not knowing it was just his like floating head, because it is the second appearance of Judo Master, and I was like, I want all the appearances of Judo Master. And but I like this. I liked it well enough to think, you know, I want to complete my Sarge Steele. I've already done Son of Vulcan and Thunderbolt, and before I dive into Blue Beetle, I think I'm going to finish my Sarge Steele, which is a lot cheaper, and try to get these issues.
What year is that, Mike? That one you just did?
This one is... trying to find the date on it. Unsuccessfully.
The reason I asked is because Tarzan went...
December 1961.
Okay. Tarzan went from Gold Key to DC to Marvel. I'm wondering if maybe... I wonder if that was before it hit Gold Key then or something.
No, 1961, so...
Yeah, interesting. Because, yeah, I'm the same as you. I didn't realize that he had spent any time at Charlton.
I didn't either. I thought that was an odd ad. And the other one I want to get into, and I have it mostly for Peacemaker because I have all of Peacemaker's appearances, is Fighting Five. I still got quite a few Fighting Fives to get.
Those Fighting Fives are fun. I like those. Kirk turned me onto that series. Yeah. It's a good one.
Yeah, this ran from 1965, and there were only four issues, that Tarzan one.
Yeah. Weird.
But I want to get them now, and hopefully they're in our database. They're like $40, but that's in mint condition. But it's Sam Glassman, isn't it?
Well, you know it's going to look good.
Sam Glassman, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, geez, Joe Gill, I think, did everything at Charlton, right?
Yeah, he did a lot.
He probably did everything except for like I don't know, stuff like Beetle Bailey or Blondie. Hell, he may have done some of those too. I don't know. Yeah,
Joe Gill did this script of the Sarge Still. Yeah. Art was Dick Giordano, and it was created by Pat Marshall. But yeah, these are good. I'm really digging, and I've been in the mood for a lot of Charlton comics. You have to be in the mood for them because they are different. They are a different beast for sure.
Yeah.
Rob?
Very cool. Yeah, I'll do one more. And it's Showcase number 95 with the new Doom Patrol. And this picks up, I don't have number 94, which is the first appearance of the new Doom Patrol, but I have this one, so I thought I'd see what was going on. And starts right in with the action. General Immortus has captured the new Doom Patrol, and they're all Robot Man and Tempest are tied up, and Negative Woman is in a sealed glass cage, and Celsius has this thing around her head, and he's trying to basically break down her willpower and obtain her memories so he can get the immortality serum that's in her mind. So we just have a quick flashback of last month's issue with the first appearance of the new Doom Patrol, and that those three new members were banding together to stop General Immortus, and Robot Man said, "Okay, you know, I'll join you guys," and it was a new team now. So Robot Man was remembering this, and he gets angry enough and is able to break out of the chains. So he goes to free Tempest as well. And he says, all right, you know, let's free the others. Cliff tells Tempest that he's gonna take care of General Immortus, and he tells Tempest to go free Negative Woman. Just as they start doing that, General Immortus calls his army in, and all these soldiers come running in with guns. So Robot Man starts attacking them as Tempest is trying to figure out how to get Negative Woman out of this sealed glass cage. And as he's doing that, he's not paying attention, and one of the soldiers zaps Tempest from behind, and he falls down, knocked out. So Cliff is aggravated, even thinking to himself, saying, "Did they do anything right? Because these are all new heroes, and he's the only one with any experience." So he's like, "All right," he's like, "I'm going to have to take care of this myself." And he starts dispatching these soldiers left and right until he gets close enough to General Immortus, and the general grabs this weird device from behind him off the console that is near, and hits the chest of Robot Man, and it just zaps him with thousands of volts of electricity, and it just totally disrupts his whole body, and it just collapses. So the next thing that we know is that everyone is now tied back up, and now they're starting to awake, and General Mortis begins his monologue again, saying that, you know, he's like, you know, you're all captured again. And you know, if you try, Cliff, if you try to escape again, I've attached electrodes to your head plate, and you'll immediately become immobile. this psycho probe that I have around Celsius's head, it will only be a matter of time before all her secrets are revealed to me. So he's watching on the monitor, and it's actually showing her memories. And you see how she was a child in India, and she went to a Red Cross hospital in Calcutta, and she was just a homeless girl, and she collapsed in the hospital. And this is when Niles Calder had just graduated from medical school, was a Red Cross volunteer, and he nursed her back to health and said, you know, soon enough you'll be able to return home. And she says, well, I have no home. I live on the street. And he's like, yes, that's right. I've forgotten. I'm not going to allow you to return to that. I'm going to send you to this holy sect in the hills. And I know the leader there because I cared for him when he was ill, and he'll take care of you. And you can stay with him, and he'll tutor you until I can come back and make you my wife, which immediately put me ill at ease because, you know, he's a grown man with a full beard and everything. And they described her as a young child. So
yeah,
all along, I thought she was like 8 or 10 and he's a grown man. I don't know. Maybe she was 16 and he's 23. I don't know, but that's not what it appeared. And that isn't how it came across. At first,
I always thought that couple was kind of gross. Yeah,
this 2-page thing is extremely unsettling.
Yeah,
because it really seems like she's a young girl that he's caring for, and basically saved her life, and now he wants to make her his wife.
Yep.
It was very like unsettling. But anyhow, he takes her to the monastery. He takes off, says that he's going to return. Sure enough, of course, she gets tutored there at the monastery, and then has a meeting with the leader there, and says that, you know, they tell her that she's got great power and it's laying dormant, and now, you know, it's time for her to unleash the power, and sure enough, she has power over over heat, flame, and then also on the other end of the spectrum, cold and ice. Shortly after that, you know, she grows into be a woman, and Niles Calder shows back up, you know, once she's legal to go ahead and marry her. So
that's literally what I think happened. Yeah.
I got to go back to the United States. This isn't kosher.
Yeah,
she's 8 years old. So, you know, he waited 10 years and showed back up and like, okay, come on, babe. Gonna go. So, I mean, I'm saying this tongue in cheek because
like
I don't think.
No, I mean, I thought it for years.
This way, but yeah, it does come across that way, at least in my mind reading this for the first time now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it was always saved for me by the fact that he got blown up shortly thereafter, right? So who knows if they consummated.
Right. So they take off, they leave the monastery, and he starts saying that, you know, he's got a mysterious benefactor. He doesn't know, but it actually is General Mortis. And says, you know, he's got unlimited funds, and he wants a serum for immortality. And he's like, you know, I'm not going to not willing to share it with him yet until I find out who this is, because I, you know, I've never, you know, he's just anonymous. I don't know who this guy is. So she says, oh, you've discovered the secret of immortality. He says, yes, I have. But you, my dear, will be the first to benefit from the discovery as my wedding gift to you. Because not only do I like young children, but I really don't like them to get any older. So, you know, they go ahead, they have their wedding, and he said, all right, baby. He says, drink it all, my sweet, and never more will you need fear the encroachment of old age. You shall remain young and beautiful forever.
Ew.
So she drinks the formula, and now she's going to be forever young. So
that actually even makes it grosser than what I realized, Rob.
Yeah, but I'm tailoring it away from our 2023, you know, point of view. Definitely. You know, it was 1977. I have a feeling that this probably didn't strike anyone the way that it's striking me today.
Right. It's not that far removed from Jerry Lee Lewis and his 12-year-old cousin.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, and I'm obviously, as I'm describing, I'm playing up, you know, the creep factor that right. wasn't necessarily there. But the images fade away, and so you know, everyone had witnessed this in on the monitor, and Cliff can't believe it because Chief never said a word about having a wife, and General Morta says, you know, he didn't tell you a lot of things.
He didn't tell you she was 12 either.
Right, but I knew the existence of her and of his successful experiment that he never shared with me. And I've searched years for Imani. That's Celsius's real name. And he's like, but enough of that. Her mind keeps resisting, but let's see if she can resist full power. So he puts the psycho probe all the way up to full power. And she's not. She's not able to keep resisting that mind probe. And, you know, you see everyone just in a lot of discomfort. Chained up, caged, and then of course, especially Celsius, who's just she's face is sweating. She's just going through a lot of torture, but all for naught. However, before the final, before everything comes to fruition here, Tempest finally has enough, and he's able to break through his final. He breaks through, just as Immortus ends up getting the secret formula, he says, "There at last, I have been what?" And Tempest breaks out. He immediately unchains Robot Man, and so now the two of them are free again, and they go chasing off after General Mortis, who immediately runs away because he has this formula. He manages to get through a door just as it seals, and so quickly, as a matter of fact, that Robot Man actually bounces right off of the door. He tried to get under there in time, but he wasn't able to. They get Celsius out from that psycho probe. They free Negative Woman, and they say, "Okay, we got to get through here." Like, well, you know what? Instead of going through the door, we're no doubt he has an entire army just standing there waiting for us. Let's do something unexpected, and we'll break through the side wall. So that's exactly what Robot Man does. He punches through the side wall, only to realize they're on the moon, and air starts sucking out of the room that they were in quite quickly, and they're all headed for disaster, and Robot Man's able to call Irani and say, you know, you got to plug that hole with ice. And so she does just in the nick of time and manages to save the entire team. And so now they don't have much of a choice. They know they're stuck up on the moon. They're going to have to go through this door. So Tempest breaks through. And sure enough, there is a whole party of soldiers there, but they start fighting them, and they're not really able to do much against us, this superpower team, but they are able to slow them down enough that General Mortis has synthesized and is now taking the formula, and he feels it. And panel by panel, you see him get stronger and younger, and he becomes a younger man, a full head of hair, and he exclaims, "I'm young again," and Robot Man says, "We got to grab him now." And there's still some of the, you know, the army there. They start shooting. One shoots Negative Woman, but it goes right through her and hits an important computer console that everything starts exploding, blowing up. Now, all of a sudden, this is just not even minutes, but seconds later, you see that Immortus appears to be getting old again from panel to panel, just in the space of two pages. And, they're like in Immortus, like, I have to get to my escape route because something has gone very wrong now with the computers. Everything's blowing up. He notices now, he's like, wait a minute, why am I getting so weak? Now he looks exactly like he did the beginning of this issue, very, very old and wrinkled. And he says, perhaps I should rest. Yes, perhaps I should. And he goes running off as all of his soldiers are kind of in disarray. They're all running for their own lives now as well. They're no longer trying to attack the Doom Patrol. They're all trying to save themselves. And Mortis runs off. And Doom Patrol realize they really don't have much time to track anyone down. They really need to take any opportunity they can to now save their own lives because they know they're up on the moon. They manage to locate a rocket ship in a different part of the complex. They ask a Negative Woman if she can fly it as a former cosmonaut. And she's like, I don't have much choice. Let's see what we can do. And she is able to actually do it. And they fly off just as the entire complex explodes. They try to guess whether or not Immortus made it or not. They have no idea, but they did notice he was getting older again. And Celsius quickly explains the reason for that. And she says, you know, the chief actually tailored that immortality serum to my own body chemistry. It has to be tailored, you know, for each person. So basically he got my version of it, and that's why it only lasted seconds, and it was only mixed for me. So whether or not Immortus lives or not, we don't know, but they managed to land back at their own headquarters, and just as they disembark, there's a guy in a trench coat with a gun pointed at them, saying that he's got a lot of questions. He wants to know where the chief is, and he's got a lot of questions for him and his Russian lady friend, meaning Negative Woman. So something to do with her being from Russia. That was the end of the issue. This one, I mean, all kidding aside with the creepiness, it was highly entertaining, though. It was a very enjoyable story, and I definitely like reading about the Doom Patrol. And you know, I read some of the later series that I think were in the 90s, but this is the only time that I've read that short, any of the short-lived run from Showcase. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I love it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that iteration, not from that era, but from Kupperberg and Lyle?
Yeah, but this is Kupperberg. You know what, I'm sorry, I didn't do credits, but yeah, this is Kupperberg writing and Joe Staton drawing.
Okay. So, you were talking about the Eric Larson one, right?
But the one that became 19, Eric Larson. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
So Kupperberg came back and it was like a good 10 years later, you know, after Crisis and stuff, and when that Doom Patrol came before Grant Morrison. Yeah.
Yeah, I read those off the newsstand, the first handful where they came back, and it was kind of like the new Doom Patrol still. I think they added maybe Negative Man.
They might have. I don't
remember. It was basically New Doom Patrol with like one edition. But
yeah,
It was. I really. It, really
you know
liked
what?
It.
I do see Negative Man. Maybe Negative Woman. I don't see her. So maybe.
Yeah, Elastigirl still never came back.
No, she hadn't at that point. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, that's great stuff. I'm a big fan of Doom Patrol. I'm excited to dig into the new one. I haven't read it yet. I've got it sitting over there.
I read it. It was pretty good.
Nice. Yeah, that's
only,
one I've been keeping month to month.
I only
so
read the
I
Lazarus tie-in.
Effect. Yeah.
Crazy Jane, one of her alter egos, one of her personalities is the chief.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so she's in charge of the team right now.
That's good stuff.
Cool stuff.
Yeah, that was one that I have been excited to rediscover because it was one that Jack latched onto fairly recently. He's like, oh yeah, I remember these. So we would be bin diving at a comic book store. I was like, hey Jack, there's a huge run of the oh crap, what's the lady who came right after Larson? Not after Larson, after Morrison.
She just passed away.
Rachel Pollack just passed away.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I found a huge run of the Rachel Pollacks, and I was like, Jack, you gotta read these. These are good. And yeah, so getting him to read that, that's been fun rereading some of the Doom Patrol stuff from back in the day.
I've never read any of her stuff because I had only just recently in the past 5 years read Grant Morrison. My wife got me that absolutely enormous omnibus
Nice.
Christmas a few years ago. Right. So I read all that for the very first time, but so I've never read anything beyond that. Mike, another reason to get probably DC Infinite. I don't know what they have and what they don't have, but you know.
Well, I'm sure they keep adding stuff, right?
Oh yeah, I would hope so.
They like I think I've told you that was the one thing I was bummed. They don't have as complete a run as Superman as they do of Batman. I feel like Batman they have just about everything, some random annuals aside.
Yeah.
But yeah, I bet they have a good chunk of the Doom Patrol, especially with the relaunch of it.
You would think that. I mean, that would only make sense. I mean, obviously the Grant Morrison, but you would think that they would keep putting more stuff on there. So
yeah, the Pollock stuff's worth digging into. It's good stuff.
That's cool. So that's all I got. I probably gotta be logging. I don't know if you guys are planning on covering anything else, but I gotta start getting ready for big birthday party.
Sounds good. I gotta get out of here myself in a second, so I'm good to wrap up now.
All right. Well, you can reach us at geekbrunchpodcast.com and also on Facebook at Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button. At Rob Krieger on Twitter, at Mike Myers Brunch, and at Iowa's Joe. Can find us all on Twitter.
Yes.
And that'll wrap us up until another 2 weeks.
Woohoo!
Thanks for joining.
I had a good time, guys.
Yeah. You guys take care.
As always, thank you.
Bye. Yep.
Have a good weekend.
You too.